Mama, I'm driving safely. Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl.
Where we may be a little extra incoherent this week because we got some insane barf-inducing news today
I'm
that
so
I can't
barfy.
even. Oh my
No,
God.
I don't know how to function.
Nope.
When we got the first email, I was on the phone with my husband and I just started screaming, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God." And so he's like, "What?" And I'm like, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God." And I'm trying to text
I
you.
literally was shaking. I could not
Yeah.
stop shaking. I could barely breathe. I was in the middle of my office. I'm like, I have to type a response to this email.
You guys,
You guys are
in a
not ready.
month, all will be revealed.
You guys, I can't even.
Yeah.
I cannot even. This is
February
insane.
has got some insane news coming your way.
Oh my God.
What is this life?
Anyways,
I'm
who are you?
Mandy of Verve.
And I'm Karen from Central State University. Welcome
This is
back
where I
to
put my ears in and my blah, 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 blah. Just cover my ears and pretend you're not there.
I'm so sorry to inform you. In our timeline, it is January 23rd. I wrote down the wrong
Weird.
date because I forgot to change that. It is January 23rd. And in y'all's timeline, it is February 2nd.
No, it's not.
Is
That's a
that for
lie.
real? That
I don't
can't be
like
for
it.
real.
I don't like that.
That sounds like fake news. What? No, don't like it.
I don't like that either. It makes me sad.
Anyways, This week in fangirling, tell me what you did, Mandy,
I
in a
didn't do
short
a
week.
lot because we just talked and then it was a busy weekend. We had my niece's birthday party to go to. So we did that
Oh.
and I don't remember. We had like appointments and like the weekend before travel. I got day drunk on Sunday
On accident.
on accident. So I should tell this because it was just funny and I want to promote my besties at the Monkey's Paw Tiki Lounge. That is where the Searchers and Paranormal Minds studio is. So we went down there to just drop some stuff off in the studio that we're going to store there. And the owner was there prepping for like a bridal, I guess it was like a wedding shower. It was a Sunday, but it was a wedding cocktail hour, I guess, that they were doing there. And then they were going to go upstairs to Pearl for dinner. And I mentioned, we're just sitting there talking. And I'm like, dude, you're the best mixologist I know, the best bartender, whatever. He would hate. I'm sorry, Tony, that I just called you a mixologist. The best bartender that I know. I had a really good guava Mai Tai at Trader Vic's in Atlanta, and I need you to like replicate that. And he was like, look up their menu. What does it say? And it doesn't have anything. Like it says a mix of light and dark rums, guava, and our secret blend. And he was like, okay. And so I'm thinking he's just gonna like one day make it a monthly spot. Oh no, 2 minutes later, the drink is popped down in front of me. I hadn't eaten. This is like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I hadn't eaten since 5:30 the night before. Not a thing. I was gone, y'all. I was telling Josh, I was like, listen, man, you're gonna have to take me somewhere to get some food, or I don't know if I'm gonna make it home. I couldn't feel my hands. I couldn't feel my mouth. One drink, one single alcoholic beverage. I mean, I wasn't actually drunk, okay? Like, I was tipsy. I was real good and tipsy, but like, I was in control of all my faculties, but I could not feel the tips of my fingers. That was fun. And then I came home and made a Sunday roast dinner because I've been on English food TikTok. That took hours. Anyways, the stuff people actually care about. If you're in Macon, Georgia, go to the Monkey's Paw Tiki Room. Okay. Trust me.
Absolutely. Yes. Can confirm.
Yes, I made Karen go. We
Was so
left
good.
Josh with her kiddo for an hour so that we could go have Lapu-Lapus and
It was
all of the
wonderful.
beverages. Yeah, you got to come back because they moved
Yeah,
and it's
I will.
even cooler. Okay, so I've continued reading Fear the Flames by Olivia Rose Darling. It is long. It is a long book. I have it on Kindle, so I think, don't quote me on this, but I think that But Olivia got some sort of a book deal because now it has a release date of September.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I need to look into that and see.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll find out about that for next week. So I talked about it last week, but Elwyn and Kaden are still working together to take down her father, King of Immerath, who kept her like chained in a dungeon almost from birth. As soon as they found out that she was born bonded to five dragons, it's unheard of. It means she's going to be super powerful. And of course, fragile men are intimidated by powerful women. And so he immediately was like, threat. Instead of, I can raise my child to be my ally and to, you know, take over this kingdom. No, chained her, did near daily beatings from near about birth. Locked away, she escapes to Astillion and is now their queen. So Kaden has agreed to help her steal back her dragons if she'll ally Astillion with Verveth, which is where I'm from this week, where Kaden's from, and they'll go against her father. She's begrudgingly accepted because she'll do anything to get her dragons back, but she can't stand Kaden. Oh, but she can.
Oh, I'm sure she can.
Where I am, they're still fighting it. They finally kissed, but they're still like, oh, that was just a one-off. You've got a smart mouth, angel. You know, you've got a stupid face, asshole. It's been fun though. Like, it took me a while to get into, but now I am like in the thick of it and I'm like Jones. And like when I'm at work all day, I'm like, I'd be reading For the Flames instead. So that's been really good. I also started listening to Realm Breaker by Victoria Aveyard because I never did get to Blade Breaker.
Okay.
So it takes place in like a Lord of the Rings-esque type of fantasy world. But Victoria Aveyard describes this as a story where the Avengers are dead and the B team band of idiots, so like the Guardians of the Galaxy, have to step up to save the world. Like, she's literally said that in panels and stuff that I've been to.
The Avengers are dead.
And the idiots have to step up. You got to call in these guys. Yeah, I died the first time I heard her say
that. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So in this case, the Companions of the Realm are this legendary group of immortals who have fallen to Tarrasin of Old Kor, who has led this army on behalf of What Waits, which, can I have a moment for that name? That's a villain's name. What Waits.
Oh.
Epic.
Oh.
Epic. Yes. Okay. And then, like, I'm listening to it on audio and it's What Waits. Scary. And I don't even know, like, it seems like this, I don't even know how to explain how, like, What Waits is written. It's not like What Waits is this man. Mm-hmm. What Waits is this, like, ethereal monster. You don't know. All it is, it's so ominous. So it's like, is it going to be a hot villain that comes out, you know, and it's Loki, son of Asgard, you know, like, I don't know. It's just so ominous and I freaking love it. Okay, so our lovable band of idiots, we have Andrew Trelant, who was a squire. He was there at the massacre of the Companions of the Realm where they all died, and he miraculously survives and he has to flee, which he hates because he's like, I'm supposed to die with them. But as one of them is dying, he's like, you have to live. You have to live to tell this. No one will know what's happening and what waits is coming. Then we have Saras the Sarn, who is an Ibali assassin. Love her. She is sharp. We have Corain and Amarat, which is really similar to Fable.
Okay.
So she's got, her dad is long dead and he was one of the Guardians of the Realm. No, not Guardians of the Realm. Companions of the Realm, Guardians of the Galaxy, was one of the Companions of the Realm. Her mother is this like badass pirate queen that everybody is terrified of, but she's basically got Corain landlocked. She won't let her go on any of the big adventures, on any of the, you know, she's like, I can't risk you. I'm going to go risk myself and get all of this glory and I'll have all of these adventures. You have to stay here. And Corain is miserable. You've got Demacreon of Iona. I would love to see, I would love if you have read Realmbreaker physically and pronounce that. I want to know how you pronounced it because it is spelled so interestingly. And I think she did it on purpose.
Ooh,
there's
okay.
Demacreon has two D's. Demacreon.
Where?
It's Domacridhan. I saw her with, I think it was Tiffany D. Jackson that was like her doing her panel at a Realmbreaker event. Actually, Tiffany had read the book and Victoria was like, I would love to know how you pronounce Dom's name. And she was like, I'm not even about to embarrass myself. myself. Not even about to try.
Oh my gosh.
So he's Demacreon of Iona. He's a Vidiran warrior and the only surviving member of the Companions of the Realm. So unbeknownst to Andri, one singular Avenger is still alive. Thor, basically. Thor is still kicking. Then two more major players. We've got Erida. She's the queen of Galland. She's being forced to choose a husband to secure Galland's future, you know, forge alliances. Any 19-year-old queen is going to live this same life, you know. Mm-hmm. She's got like these really crusty old dudes coming up and she's just like, I'm not marrying any of these fools. Are you kidding? She's found a husband, but she has not, you know, we haven't met him yet.
Okay.
As far as like her court hasn't met him yet. Nobody knows what's going on. And then we have Taristan of Old Kor, who was the one who led the army against the Companions of the Realm in service of what waits. He is Corain, the fable. It's her uncle, actually. So her dad was part of the... Yeah, the Companions of the Realm.
Gasp.
And Taristan is his twin brother. You find this out in literally like the prologue.
Yeah.
They face off and her dad is killed by his surprise twin brother. So that is not a spoiler, even though it feels like it is. It's a spoiler for her dad.
Yeah.
Basically. If you're Corain's dad, you shouldn't have listened to that.
Or maybe you should have and left.
Yeah. Don't go. They've already done the bad thing. You're going to die. You need to get out of there. So yeah, now that everyone except Erida and Taristan, so the queen and the bad guy, are not going to be part of the Guardians, but Andri and Sarasa and Corain and Demacreon are kind of finding each other and realizing like, oh shit, it's us. Like, What waits is coming. And we got to, like, if we don't do it, nobody's gonna. Yeah, it's been the first, I read it a couple of years ago when it came out and I struggled, but I think it was because I wasn't, was trying to listen and work, mm-hmm. like work and pay attention to work. So I kind of breezed through the audiobook and didn't really pay attention to details. This is a book that you have to be very like honed in on the details of. I haven't been trying to like do my job while I listen. I'll be like driving, mm-hmm. or, you know, cleaning, something where I don't have to be like writing
present. Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I have to be present when I'm driving. I know that. I'm not present when I'm driving, but
you know what I mean? Like, you're not using your brain.
I'm not using that part of my brain to like critically think about a spreadsheet. I'm just able to listen and drive safely. I'm driving safely, I promise. So yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot more this go around because I'm actually paying attention and I'm not completely lost.
Okay.
And then last, I watched The Marvels last night. Josh wanted to have a family movie night. So
was that your first time?
Yeah, I haven't watched it. Okay, so just quick, 30 years ago, Carol Danvers, who we all know as Captain Marvel, destroys the Supreme Intelligence, which is this AI that's controlling the Kree Empire on Hala, which is like their home world. This directly leads to civil war there and it sends them into desolation. They have like no resources and they are all dying. So Dar-Ben, the Kree's new leader, who I like shot up on the couch. I was like, is that Zawe?
You didn't
Josh
know?
Was like, no, I have not. I saw like no promo for this movie at all.
Okay.
I don't know what happened.
Listen, the only reason that I knew was because I saw an interview with Tom Hiddleston where he said something like, my other half is in that movie. So maybe, or something like
you
that.
You saw Tom Hiddleston in an interview and he didn't send it to me.
No, because he was talking about another woman.
Fair. So I like,
I know my
like,
audience.
Is that Zawe? And Josh was like, no, it's the lady from Hala. Sir. It's Zawe Ashton. I was like, that's Tom Hiddleston's baby mama and fiance. And he's like, oh. I don't know what he thought I said. He was like trying to explain to me. I was like, no, I know. So she plays Dar-Ben, who's the Kree's new leader. She finds one of the quantum bands that Kamala Khan has, the other one. We know we saw it in Ms. Marvel. Dar-Ben uses the power of that band to tear open a jump point, which causes like pop-up issues all across everything mm-hmm. on the Jump Point network. So Monica Rambeau is with Nick Fury at Sabre and goes to investigate a jump point that showed up near them at the same time that Carol investigates one that just appeared near her. When they both touch the jump point at the same time, it links Monica, Carol, and Kamala through quantum entanglement. So anytime two of them use their power in the same instance, they switch places. Mm-hmm. So as you can imagine, chaos ensues when they first suddenly, because they suddenly swap and like Carol Carol Danvers is in Kamala Khan's closet and Kamala's in space. Then second, when they meet together at the Skrull refuge camp and realize like Darbin is showing up to siphon all of the breathable air at this colony. And so they realize that she's trying to steal resources from other planets and colonies in her desperation to save Hala. But she's like, I will devastate y'all to save my people, which you want in your leader, but sucks for everybody. Like you don't want that either.
For sure.
I freaking loved it because it was very like girl power forward, but it also made me so ragey because like I'm not going to say specifically what she does, but there are quite a few instances where there's this huge display of power from Captain Marvel specifically. And in Multiverse of Madness, they tried to lead us to believe, spoiler, that Wanda's chaos magic could be more powerful than someone who has the ability to do all of these things that Carol Danvers does in this movie. And fine, if you think chaos magic can beat her, but as quickly as it happened in Multiverse, absolutely not. I will die on this hill. That is insane. I'm so ragey that like I thought I was not going to be able to finish it because I was like, this is so disrespectful. They're showing this immense. All right, you've seen it. If you have not seen Miss the Marvels in Care, skip ahead 30 seconds. She reignites a fucking sun. A sun is reignited by her power alone, and Wanda's chaos magic is more powerful than that.
And doesn't she just like drop something on her?
Yes.
And that's how she dies.
With a statue. Are you kidding me?
That's definitely what the powers of Captain Marvel would succumb to.
Right, correct.
That's exactly how Captain Marvel would die, right?
I was so irate just watching it. It was like, this is insane.
Yeah.
This is actually insane and I hate it.
I mean, we have already established that Multiverse of Madness was not the best.
I mean, I love that.
I love Wanda.
Wanda was there, but I also want to forget that it ever happened.
Yeah, I agree. No, I get it.
Yeah. I was like, the hell?
No, I get it. I understand.
Yeah. Anyways, that was my week. What did you do this short week?
This very short week. Okay, so for movie night, we watched Fool Me Once on Netflix, which we both thought was a movie. It's actually a miniseries. So that was a fun surprise. And we were like, we'll just watch a couple episodes and then it'll be fine because it's like 8 episodes, but it's a miniseries. So they're like longer episodes. Anyways.
Yeah.
So I don't think we stopped after a couple. I think it was like 4, 5 because we could not stop. It was so good. It's based on a book by Harlan Coben, which I did not know going into it. So obviously it's going to be like kind of thriller vibes. So you've got a former special ops pilot, Maya, who has just lost her husband. He was recently murdered. And, you know, it opens on the funeral. And then you see, and they have a young daughter. I want to say she's probably like 2 or 3, and she's literally the cutest little thing ever. We spent the whole time being like, oh my god, Lily, she's so cute. So freaking cute. So her best friend gives her a gift after her husband's funeral, and it's one of those like digital photo frames. So you plug in and you have all the photos, but it also doubles as a nanny cam. There's a camera hidden into it. And so she has it placed in her daughter's like playroom so that when she's away and the nanny's watching her, she can kind of keep an eye on things. Well, one day she goes to watch the footage from the nanny cam for whatever reason, and she sees a man come into the playroom and her daughter runs to him and, you know, is all excited. Man turns and it's her husband's face. Her husband, who is dead, right? So now Maya is confronting the nanny, who sprays her with pepper spray and runs away.
Oh, hell
no.
So
now it's a matter of, hold on a second. It's not really him. I'm imagining things. I'm hallucinating, whatever. Or is it the nanny set something up and is like screwing with my mind? And so it's this whole like mystery as to whether or not this was actually her husband. At the same time, you've got like the detective who's investigating the murder, and they find out. So her sister was killed just a few months before this. So mm-hmm. she's had a really rough few months.
Yeah.
And so the detective who is working on her husband's case finds out some information that links the two murders. And so now Maya is kind of going a bit rogue and investigating on her own because she needs to know what happened to her sister, what happened to her husband. Was that actually him on the camera? What's going on? And it is very, I did not expect it. It was like, I was telling Beth, I'm like, I can't tell if I had read the book, if I would have figured it out by now.
Yeah.
But I haven't figured it out. And like,
so
it was,
you haven't fit, you like, y'all haven't,
we finished it. We finished it.
Okay.
Yeah. So we watched it on Friday and we got through like five episodes and she was like, it is like 2 a.m. I need to go to bed. And we're like, well, we're going to finish it tomorrow then, right? We're going to have two nights straight. So yeah. So we finished. There was no way we were. It was really good. But it does suffer from that same kind of, like, with the MCU series where the last episode feels really rushed. Like,
yeah.
They're trying to get to the conclusion. And I was just like, everything is happening all at once. And yeah. It's bonkers. But yeah, it was really good, though. I really enjoyed it. And I'll talk more about this in the next segment, but there's one character that I'm obsessed with.
Speaking of that, and Beth,
yes,
I need you to not do this whole 8-hour thing again for the next few weeks because she is reading Crave and she is live reacting to me, and I need that to continue. I need you to not distract her so that she can be just as obsessed as I am.
Listen,
I'm living for her reactions.
I love it.
She's falling for Hudson Vega right now too. I'm like, it's impossible not to. That man is perfect.
As soon as perfect. You were talking about it, and I'm like, I know who she's talking about. Me. Pick me. I know. To be fair, she probably knows too. She listens to the podcast.
That's true. I've gushed and gushed about Hudson. I got to.
We. You got to. Oh my God.
I want to reread Crave. I know she kept saying things, and I was like, I'm so jealous you get to do this for the first time. This is so unfair.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, so it's been fun.
Okay. So I read First Meets Fel by Jacqueline Snow. It follows I didn't write down anybody's names. We've got a soccer player. They're in college at Central State, which is where I'm from. A soccer player who has recently been broken up with by her boyfriend and also is about to get kicked out of her apartment. And it's like a week before classes start. So she's not going to be able to find anywhere on campus. And she is like freaking out about it until she remembers that one of her brother's roommates had to leave for like the semester or for the year because he got injured. And so he went home. And so they have an extra room in their house. And her brother mm-hmm. is a football, he's the star quarterback. And he lives with like three other football players, but they have a spare room. And so she basically goes up to him and uses her twin powers and is like, please, I need you to let me live here at least through the holidays. I can find something, you know,
later
after the first semester. And he reluctantly agrees because it's his twin sister. He's not going to let her be homeless. The only problem is she finds herself in the room across from her brother's, I guess he's like his best friend. He's again, one of his teammates. Who she is like, this man hates me. This is gonna be terrible. But turns out he has actually been crushing on her since the first moment they met. He thinks she's the most beautiful thing that he's ever seen. But he lives by this like insane like thought process. Like, well, this is my teammate's sister. She's completely off limits. There's no way. Also, his grandma is in like a care facility and he's basically all she has. And so he's helping to pay for her to stay there. And he's like, I need to focus on football. I need to get drafted, go to the NFL, get a signing bonus, make sure grandma's doing okay. And so I can't be dating anybody. I can't lose my focus. But of course, because she has now moved in,
all his focus is going to be across the hall.
Everything is starting to crumble. And so eventually, of course, they decide it's the, we'll just bang it out once just to get it out of our systems. Of course, that's never how it turns
out. Not ever. Gonna be the thing.
And so they're like, well, he's like, we can't date. I can't do that. That's too much losing of my focus. But we can do like a friends with benefits situation, which she agrees to begrudgingly because she's starting to have feelings.
Yeah.
And of course she does, because that's how, that's what always happens. And so eventually, you know, he like is like, okay, well, maybe we can just do this, but in secret. But she's like, no, no, no. I'm not going to be anybody's second choice.
No, I'm not doing secret.
Not to football, not to anything. Like, because, you know, she had issues with her ex where she was always coming in second. And so she's like, I'm not doing that anymore. So
should you, sister?
Absolutely. So she's like, all in or nothing. And so he has to decide, like, do I do this? Do I do that? What do I have to do? Because he's been, again, crushing on her for like 3 years straight now. And he has, but he's like, but my grandma, which I get, like he wants to support his grandma, but also,
yeah,
bro, you can figure it out.
Yeah.
So, but it was fun. They were frustrating. There was tension. It was excellent. I loved it.
You said the school is Central State?
Central State.
Can I tell you what Central State is where I am?
Sure.
The mental hospital.
Oh, that's funny.
So when you said Central State, from Central State, my like Georgia brain went.
Well, you know what? That would be Central on brand State. For me, though.
I could use a grippy sock vacation. I could certainly use one.
I agree.
Anyways.
I finally watched the Critics' Choice Awards because it was on CW.
Boo.
Yeah. It does not stream on my, like, I don't have cable anymore. So I had to wait for them to put it up. But I have one thing that made me so ragey. Other than the I'm the just song. Ken thing. Other than I'm just Ken. There was one thing that drove me crazy. The presenters are up and they're like talking about, you know, the category or whatnot. I can't even remember. I think it was for that same category, actually. And they said something like, and then we have, or they listed off a couple names of like actors who perform songs in their movies. And they said something like, and then there are the actors who think they're singers. And one of them was Ariana DeBose.
That's the most embarrassing. I have secondhand embarrassment.
That is the most disrespectful shit I've ever heard in my life.
I heard somebody talking about her on a podcast the other day and they were like, who, like, I don't know. I don't remember who she is, except for she had like an embarrassing awards moment last year.
Last
I think
year.
It was something to do with Angela Bassett. Did the thing, I guess.
Yeah.
It was apparently it was awkward and people were like making fun of her for it. And then they Googled her and they were like, oh no, shit, she was in Hamilton. Oh no, wait, hold on. She's super talented. Hold on. You know, like
that girl is.
Yeah. It's like, you know, we're not going to talk shit about her.
The camera was on her when they said that, and the face that she made, she was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, is she about to like get up and pull a Will Smith right now? Because she'd be justified, honestly. I'm sorry, but like Ariana DeBose is an actor who thinks she's a singer?
No, she's a singer who sometimes acts.
I
if you had to narrow her down to one thing, it's her voice.
Yeah.
You know, like
God.
That's her God-given talent is her voice, not her acting ability. She acts great.
Disrespectful. I was so offended. I think
I've heard
actually
not a
scream.
I haven't had a positive, like any positive feedback from any awards show so far.
It's not been great this season so far. So we'll see.
Steve is hosting something and he was like, there will be no Barbie jokes and there will be no Taylor Swift jokes. Like, we're not going to make fun of women here.
Yeah.
Well, like, yes, Ken, do it.
You know what? I'm also offended on Simu's behalf because they listed, I forget what exactly happened, but they were listing like all the Barbies and they listed a bunch of Kens and Simu's name did not pop up at all.
He's the second, like, obviously when you think of Barbie and Ken, like in the movie, you're going to think Ryan Gosling because he did like the whole I am Ken, or right. I'm just Ken song. But next
right there
is Simu. Like,
he was in so much of like the trailer and promotional stuff too. Like, as if like what? Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I wouldn't, if I listened multiple Kens, it would be Ryan Gosling and Simu.
Yeah. So yeah, it's
people are weird.
It's been an interesting award season. to say the least. And then today, Amazon dropped their original story collection, which is called The Improbable Meet Cute, which is 6 novellas written by some of our favorite romance authors. Words are really hard. I'm so sorry.
You were just trying to get quick. Romance.
Yeah, I was trying. We're not making shorthand. Fetch happen. Look it up. I'm sorry. So some of our favorite romance authors, such as Christina Lauren, Abby Jimenez, Jasmine Guillory, Sally Thorne, Ashley Poston, and Soraya Wilson. And they each wrote like a little novella that has these really just insane meet cutes that are so cute. Like the Christina Lauren story is a guy sends an email to his teacher asking for something and he accidentally emails the wrong person, but the person responds and like, hey, I think you meant to send this to this person, just wanted to let you know, like you sent it to the wrong person. And so he had emailed on Valentine's Day and she was like, oh, at least I got, you know, some attention on Valentine's, somebody sent me a note on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And so then they have this like cute little email back and forth, and it becomes like a tradition where every Valentine's Day they send each other an email to see who can say happy Valentine's Day first. And it's super cute. And like, even after, because I think they were in high school, and then even after he graduates, he creates another like email, because it was their school emails. So he creates like a separate email that's basically the same so that they can keep emailing. It's very cute.
Oh, I love that.
And so, you know, and this goes on for like 10 years. They just email on Valentine's Day just to like check in with each other, and they start like getting closer, and it's very cute. It's the first story in the collection, and I was listening to the audiobook as I was like making food to eat, and things were happening, and I'm literally like, oh my god, like jumping up and down, like it's Christina Lauren.
They're super talented now. I'm gonna give it to them.
It's so good. So you've got the Christina Lauren is the Exception to the Rule is the name of their story. Then Worst Wingman Ever by Abby Jimenez. Gosh, I wrote them all down. Rosie and the Dreamboat by Sally Thorne. Drop Cover and Hold On by Jasmine Guillory. With Any Luck by Ashley Poston. And Royal Valentine by Soraya Wilson. I thought they were all excellent. I liked the first 3 more than the last 3, but they were all still really good. And it's just like, there is so, I don't know how romance authors think of these.
Yeah.
Because they're adorable. It's adorable. They were all adorable and I really enjoyed them. And it is available on Kindle Unlimited and Prime Reading. So if you have either of those, you can get it for free. If you do it on Kindle Unlimited, you also get the Audible book. So you can listen to it on audio if you want to do that.
Okay.
They're super quick. Like I literally listened to all of them today within my workday. So
very cool.
So that was my week. I also am reading Keep This Off the Record by Arden Joy. I'm about 2/3 of the way, half of the way through. I'm half of the way through it. So we'll talk more about that later.
Yeah.
But yes. And I think that was my whole week. I didn't write anything else down, so we're going to go with that.
Do you have a fictional boyfriend this week?
I do. I have 2. I'm still in love with Kalorn from the Red Queen series.
My baby.
I finished Glass Sword. I'm currently listening to King's Cage. But Kalorn, he can do no wrong. My sweet angel baby. I love that.
I feel
man.
That way about Maven too, though. I don't love I love Kalorn, though.
I love Kalorn, so I would die for that man. I love him so much. So Kalorn, and then my other fictional boyfriend is Shane Tessier from Fool Me Once. He is like Maya's bestie. They serve together and he basically is just the best. I love him so much. We spent the whole time watching. Every time he would come on screen, I'd say into the phone, I'm like, he's just so handsome. He's just so handsome. And Beth was like, I really hope he turns out to like not be the bad guy, because it's one of those stories where like you can't trust anybody.
Yeah.
And I was like, but daddy, I love him.
This is how one of the twins was when we were watching the Marvels, and you go to the singing planet and there's a prince that I don't want to give away too much, but the prince, she saw, like, she went to the bathroom and we were like, you left it the word, like, this is her type. This is like the hair, the outfit, everything. And so like we rewound it for her and she was just like, oh my god, that man is so fine.
I literally every time Beth would be like, I really hope he's not like the bad guy. Oh, I don't know. I don't trust him. And I was like, I was channeling Ariel like so badly from the little mermaid. Like, but daddy, I love him.
Look, I don't know how I found it. I was looking for something else, but I found like a screenshot because I thought it was funny where Brandy was reading. It was Crave. I was looking for something about Crave and she texted me and she said something along the lines of, is this going to be a Darkling situation where I'm like, Mandy, he's a psychopath. And you're like, Brandy, I love him. I can't help it. Okay. It's who I am.
If I'm sick and I don't want to get better.
No, I don't want to be well.
I don't know. I'm good. I'm good right where I am. I'm good. And you know what? The other thing is like every now and then you'd see a little Lily run up and be like, Uncle Shane. And I'm just like, this is a very handsome man with an accent, with a small child. I'm sorry. Am I supposed to not love him? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Really? Let's be real.
Come on. Yeah. So those are my fictional boyfriends this week. How about you?
I'm going with Caden Velis from Fear the Flames. So he is working at the border, which is like, I guess, where the army is set up. But he has a room in the castle that's connected to hers because he wants to be able to keep an eye on her because he's sworn to protect her. Mm-hmm. So at one point she goes, and this is kind of a spoiler, but it's really not. It's very vague. She goes out and ends up like being shot with a poison dart, but she gets it out. So there's not a lot that it gets into her system, but she still like passes out for days. Mans goes feral with finding and punishing the person who did it. Goes absolutely, but he stays with her. She's asleep for 2 days. And the whole time he is like holding her and talking to her and like talking her through it. And she can like hear it. Like she doesn't realize it, but she can hear him as she's passed out. And like later she realizes like, oh my God, he like stayed the whole time. Aww. While he's calling her angel.
I love it.
Oh, and I don't want to say that. That's a spoiler. Love.
I love it.
Yeah. I think he might be a dark blonde though. So that's not ideal.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. All the fan art. He's like my hair. Like I hate on blonde and dishwater blonde people. And here I am.
Here I am, one of them. To be fair, though, you hate on white people and you're also one of them. So
true. White people suck. I'm not wrong.
You're not wrong. Yeah. I'm just saying there's precedent for this. There's precedence for this. So
at least I can be honest. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Caden Velis of Verveth.
I love.
Yeah.
That sound means we have an intruder alert.
It's an intruder alert.
We have a very special guest this week, you guys. It is debut author Arden Joy. Her book is Keep This Off the Record.
Oh my God.
Look at how pretty she is. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here.
We can't wait to talk.
Excited to have you here.
So before we begin, we always like to let the author tell us about the book. So give us a quick elevator pitch of the book, just in case for anybody who doesn't know about it.
Sure. So Keep This Off the Record is a Shakespearean remake, if you can go back to high school, of Much Ado About Nothing, set in modern times. So it's a LGBTQ story about Abigail and Freya. They were speaking of high school, they were enemies in high school. They hated each other. Then they parted ways. 15 years later, they bump into each other at a high school reunion. And it's like they'd never been apart. And they start fighting. And while they're fighting, Freya's associate producer and Abby's best friend meet and they fall in love. And so now there's this whole like drama going on because their friends are in love and they're happy for their friends. But now they keep bumping into each other and they keep fighting. And finally, their friends go, I wonder if they're fighting or if there's something else going on. So they get involved and, you know, hijinks.
I love that you said take it back to high school because I have my 14-year-old twin nieces are living with me right now and they're Romeo and Juliet right now. And so every day
exactly,
they come home with
right?
like questions.
I feel like
that
we
is
all did it.
Shakespeare in high school. Mm-hmm. So are you like a Shakespeare girly or is it just like you started writing and then you realized like, hey, this is kind of, I could make this work.
Yeah, well, I was a Shakespeare girly in high school.
Weren't we all?
I was a nerd. nerd. I was a total nerd, proud of it. And yeah, that's sort of when this idea came to me. You know, there was like, I'm going to date myself now, but remember like 10 Things I Hate About You?
Yeah.
And like,
yes.
Right? So like that was kind of happening when I was younger. And I was like, why is everybody doing like Taming of the Shrew and like Romeo and Juliet when Much Ado About Nothing is like hands down the best Shakespearean play?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where the idea came from. But then time went on. It took me a long time to write it. And I also started to really feel a distance from Shakespeare because obviously his writing is so like, I am a white man writing about white men and what I think women and people of color are like, you know? And
right.
So that was kind of when the story really came to fruition. It was like, oh, you know what? All the good parts of Shakespeare, of this wonderful enemies to lovers story, like I can take it and kind of really bring it into the 21st century and like give it color.
You went, I can fix him. I can fix this. And then fixed it. Yeah, I love
that. That's exactly it. Once again.
That's I mean, perfect. You just gotta let the women step in and handle it, okay?
Right, exactly.
We'll fix it all.
It's true.
We'll fix it all by lunch. No big deal.
I love it.
So it is Sapphic. It is Jewish, which is both things that we are told that you are. obviously from personal experience, that's part of what came out in the story. But like, what made you think like this is the twist that I can put on it that makes it really more diverse, I guess, than
Again, I think part of it is I wanted to see myself. So I identify as queer. And so, you know, I am married to a man, but I have dated all kinds of people. And I just what I was saying about Shakespeare, right? Like it was this very whitewashed story. Mm-hmm. And when I wanted to tell it again, I was like, how can I bring something, you know, more into the story? And I want to make sure that I'm writing about things that I know. That can be a big stumbling block for authors when they start veering off into, you know, representing other characters that they know nothing about. So it was really important for me to kind of stick to what I know, but then also, you know, particularly in this story, there's a character that it's a story about the freedom of being who you are. And that includes loving who you love, not just kind of in the like love is love way, but really just like maybe, I don't know, spoilers, enemies to lovers story. Like maybe it's like someone you hate.
Right.
But, you know, this
I mean, it's a fine line.
Right. Yes. Really? I mean, that's kind of, the characters kind of come to realize that too, right?
Yeah.
It is a fine line. So yeah, I just thought it was, you know, there's one character who really kind of is suppressing the side of herself, not even in a closeted way, but more of like, I don't have time for this. I'm not going to deal with it, you know, because she's so focused on her success and her career and her perfection. And so it's kind of when she comes into her true self and her softness and like who she really is, that she's able to kind of experience love and, you know, love the somebody that she's always loved.
Yeah.
So, and that's something that I definitely know about is just kind of like really focusing on just moving forward and not really experiencing all of who I am. And so this book was a big part of that, was me kind of going like, here are some sides of myself you may not know, but now they're in this book. So it's been an amazing, vulnerable experience, as if writing a book isn't vulnerable enough.
Right.
And to put yourself in there.
Right.
Absolutely.
You said you took a long time to write it. Did that mean like you had the idea and then you waited to write, or have you been writing this whole time? And like, what is your writing process like?
Yeah. So I love telling this story because I hope it really inspires other writers as well. I started this book over 20 years ago, and it was one of those things where I started it and then I like stopped, right? It took some time and life happened. And then I did finish it. And then I tried to get it published and I got rejected over 100 times. And then I thought, okay, there must be something going on here. So I went back to the drawing board. And, you know, in between these things, I got married. I had a kid. Like, life moved on, but I still wanted to work on this story. I wrote other things as well, but it kept calling. I kept going, I got to finish this one. So I did. I came back. I totally rewrote it, went back out, got rejected a whole bunch more. And then I didn't.
It just takes one.
Exactly. So yeah, it definitely, again, talk about, I think writing is just such a vulnerable experience. You have to be okay with getting rejected a lot and other things too.
You're making me feel so much better, especially with it taking you 20 years because I've got a whip that I've been sitting on for 2.5. Girl, like I'll throw out 3,000 words in a few hours and then I won't touch it for 3 months. And then it'll be like, I've got this spurt of like, I'll shoot up in the middle of the night and email myself. Like, don't forget this.
Yes.
And then I won't look at it again.
Like, yes. And that's, it's a little embarrassing. Sometimes I say like, it took me 20 years and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what do people think? But you know what? That was my process.
Yeah.
That was the journey too that led you to us holding this book.
Like, I know that is so exciting to see you holding it. But yeah, that's exactly it. I want someone else to hear that. And because I'm in a lot of writing groups and Facebook groups, and there's always people, they'll say things like, I got rejected by 5 agents, or my, you know, I've been working on this book for 2 years. And I'm like, no, 5 agents, 2 years? No, try 200 agents and, you know, 20 years.
Right. Well, and see, a lot of times you see these people who like, I wrote my first book and it immediately got picked up and now it's a movie. And it's like, that's great, but it's not the most realistic picture for authors out there, because most people are going to get rejected and struggle to get their book published. And then it does happen. It can happen. It will happen.
Yeah. You can win the lottery and get struck by lightning too. Like, those things do happen. But for the rest of us, it's a very realistic experience of, you know, failure and struggle and pushing through, and it takes time. And when you finally hold your book, it's a wonderful experience, but it may not turn into a movie. You know, everybody hopes, right?
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely. But, you know, it does. It, like, you, there's this quote that I heard from Constance Wu, who is an actress, and she said, making a mistake is part of the bigger journey of becoming better at what you do. And I feel like that applies to rejections as well, because you kind of, I mean, yeah, it's great if you are successful right out the gate, but like, if you're rejected, that doesn't mean you're bad. It just means you have the opportunity to get better.
Yes. Well, and getting rejected too, like, especially in this industry, it can be anything. It could be that the agent or the publisher literally just got a book like yours and they're like, I can't do 2 of them. Or, you know, there's so many reasons. But yes, I was most grateful for rejections where any agent or publisher gave me one little tidbit where they were like, I didn't like the way this opening had X, Y, and Z. And I was like, I heard you. Okay, I'm going to work on
that. You know? Yeah, I can change that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things I've heard, we interviewed Brianne Randall, who wrote The Unfortunate Side Effects of Heartbreak and Magic. And she said, I never let a rejection bother me because I knew like that was one rejection down to my yes.
Wow.
And she was like, statistically, I knew like
one step
the
closer.
More no's I went through, eventually I was going to get to my yes. And it was like,
oh, that's a mind blowing way. Yeah. I just poured a glass of wine. I had a lot of wine over the years, but I like her way better.
I know. Your way's more relatable. So are you a plotter? Are you a pantser when you write?
I am a little bit of both. So I really enjoyed getting to write this book because I knew kind of the major plot points, right? I'm not someone who can sit down and be like, in this chapter, this is going to happen. In this chapter, it's more like, okay, I know I need to hit like at this point, this thing needs to happen. I don't even know what the thing is, but there has to be some big explosion that's going to like, and that then I know. And one of the things that has been such a delight to me is that a lot of the reviews that have come in is that people really love the characters. It's kind of like Friends. There's a whole group of people, and they're like, these characters are so much fun. And I really feel like my characters drive the story, if that makes sense. I know that always sounds so weird, but if I'm like in my head, I'm like, okay, we've got to get to this, you know, thing that's going to happen, I kind of let the characters run. They tend
to
get themselves.
They have a mind of their own.
They really do. And it just seems so weird. But
sometimes it's kind of offensive sometimes where you're like, okay, this is what's going to happen with your like storyline. And they're like, no, that's not my life. That's silly. You're in a silly, goofy mood. That is not what
happens. This is more in like fantasy realms, but it's like, actually, I'm going to die now.
Yeah, I was just going to say, oh, like, no, I'm going to die.
What do you mean?
You're a lovable sort of character. To me.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. And I'm a big dialogue person. I love kind of letting the conversation also really drive things forward. So yeah, I just let everybody talk and they get themselves into trouble. That's kind of what I do.
Do you have like a cast of characters? Is there any one of them in particular that either you liked the best? I know we can't pick favorites because they're all your children, but or like somebody that you related to the most or has the most of you in them?
Boy, that's a tricky one. I would say, so the general fan favorite, I have a character named Riley. They're this kind of non-binary sidekick. It's actually based off a friend of mine who was there at the genesis of this story. We used to sit in a cafe after classes in college, and I would be like, I have this idea for a story. I wrote a couple lines. What do you think? And so, yeah, I kind of used Bill as this character, this basis, and he grew into Riley, who is just this very, just a lot of fun and always gets to come in with those quips, you know, those little things that just kind of spice up the scene and take out the, you know, there's so much drama going on. And then Riley comes in and says something and you're like, who?
There's one part where Riley is like, okay, you're making me do what I don't want to do. I have to be the serious one in the room. I'm like, relatable.
That's exactly, yeah. So, you know, Riley's like, don't make me be the grown up. Don't make me wrinkle. No wrinkles.
No, like, yeah, exactly. Stop what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've seen on your website that we have Leave This Off the Books coming, which is Naomi and Will's love story.
Yes.
We'll see a bit. I know we see a bit of it in Keep This Off the Record, but we'll see like their perspective. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, I'm so excited. So I actually, the book that my publisher picked up was the complete book. It was Keep This Off the Record was actually, so instead of Abby and Freya's perspective, it was Abby and Naomi's perspective. And so you were actually getting the two love stories at the same time. And a little ways in, they were like, so what do you think about splitting the book into two? And I was like, oh, wait, what? So yeah, so we basically kind of started over. I had to, in a sense, write two books, even though I had already written one.
Yeah.
So yes, I wrote Keep This Off the Record with Abby and Freya, and now I get to go back and do the same thing. So the two people that meet at the high school reunion, the associate of Freya and the friend of Abby, when they fall in love, they have their own super dramatic love story going on with this big breakup that's on TV, and it's the whole thing. And but you don't, it's happening in the background and Abby and Freya are involved in it. They're trying to kind of like fix it. And
in
Leave This Off the Books, we get the flip side of that. Right. So now we're all focused on Naomi and Will and their first meeting and how they fall in love. And then as the drama builds up, because Naomi has this very like nasty ex that's causing all these problems. And just like in Keep This Off the Record, Naomi is not willing to sort of be her true self. And so when you keep these secrets, they tend to create problems. And so she gets herself into all kinds of trouble. And Will has some growth, too. We work on him a little bit as well. So, yeah, it's really cool because in Keep This Off the Record, there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes with the friends trying to figure out what's going on with Abby and Freya and like get them to figure out their feelings. So because we get the flip side of the story, now you get to find out what they were doing.
Yeah, we're not on the outskirts anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so Abby and Freya kind of become the background love story, and Will and Naomi come to the forefront.
That's such a cool way to like approach a story.
Yeah,
because you don't normally get that. I mean, we get, you know, like,
you get like Easter eggs.
You get like the dual POV, but usually that's where that story ends. And now it's kind of like, okay, rewind. Let's start from the beginning again.
Start over from a different perspective.
It gives me, what's the song? The Hamilton, where they rewind and then it's from Angelica's perspective.
Yes.
Yeah, it gives me those vibes. Yeah, that's it. I was like, why is it not coming to me? That's so much fun.
It's been really fun because I get to kind of develop these things that were in passing, you know, and go like, ooh, in my head, I sort of knew what was happening in that other room. Or if you half overhear a conversation, like I knew what they were saying, but now I actually get to flesh it out. It's also incredibly challenging because you are locked in. You are locked in from the first book. So like if somebody says like, oh, well, let's meet on Friday night. And then you're in book two and you're like, Friday night doesn't work because we really needed like an extra day for this other thing. You know, it can't be on a weekend when the next day, you know, it, you're like, shoot, how do I work? Like, you can't change the day. Like, you can't change the dialogue. You can't even change where people are in a room. If you needed someone to like overhear something bump into somebody, you're like, oh, shoot. In the first book, she was on the other end of the room.
You are giving me so much anxiety right now.
It's been very stressful.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was like, how challenging that must be, because you already have everything's built out.
Yeah.
You're very restricted. Oh my gosh.
My editor, I hope she listens to this, because I am calling her out. When she was like, here's what we want you to do. She was like, easy. It's going to be easy. You just have some dialogue. It's already written for you. And now as I'm sitting there with the two documents, you know, side by side, like double checking each line and going like, well, what did they say they were doing? And, you know, I'm like, Alex, I'm coming for you, Alex.
How could you do this to me? Do you have, or will you have, like a kind of, I don't want to say like fact checker, proofreader kind of, but somebody who is their mission.
Second set of eyes.
Somebody whose their mission is to make sure everything matches up with the first book.
Yeah, I'm going to make it Alex. Alex is going to do it.
Alex, justice is served, Alex.
Oh, yeah. I love it. That's wonderful.
Okay, so I want to take it away from books for a few minutes. I want to talk about Girls Who Travel, because I love this idea.
Yeah. What can I tell you about it? I love to talk all about Girls Who Travel.
Everything. Everything.
Well, okay. So Girls Who Travel, our mission is radically redefining travel to be inclusive, sustainable, and empowering. And I just like, it's so funny. Every time I talk about it, I like get goosebumps, because I'm just so excited about what we do. It started in 2011 because I traveled, and back then, that was a long time ago now, there really wasn't a lot of online, I mean, Facebook like wasn't even like a big thing yet, right? There was no TikTok, there was nothing. And I wanted to travel. And I had grown up in a family that didn't have a lot of money. So I didn't have travelers in my life. You know, we traveled locally, but I was ready to go further and I didn't know what to do. And I had to figure it out by myself, which was fine, but it was scary because I didn't have a community to help me. And I went on this trip and it was one of those like life-changing trips, which I know sounds so like dramatic, but it's true, because I just really figured out like how strong I was, right? That I could like go do this all by myself. I went with my friends, but like the two of us like went there and did this thing. And it really showed me the world, you know, how big it is and also how small it is, a little bit of both, right. And so I came back and I was like, well, how can I help like more women? I want other women to feel the way that I felt. And so I started a blog where I just started like writing tips of things that I had learned. What's a hostel? I didn't know what a hostel was at the time, and it was an amazing tool for me on that trip. When I figured it out, I was like, oh, I can stay places inexpensive and have a community, which is kind of what you need sometimes. So I started writing out these tips, and then I was like, well, I don't really know a whole lot of travel. I need more women to help me put together information about travel. So I started inviting bloggers to come in and write a guest article, and then Facebook groups kind of took off. And so I started a Facebook group, and then it like went and so now we have 86,000 women representing over 100 different countries. And we just have this incredible community where we focus on this idea of redefining travel, and not just focusing on passports and plane tickets, because, you know, there are so many reasons that people cannot get on a plane and go somewhere. Everything from your passport not being strong enough. Maybe your passport is not accepted in a lot of countries. You may not have the money. You may not have the physical ability. Whatever it is, we want to help you work together as a community to have the resources that you need to travel. That's everything from, you know, obviously we have this community, so a lot of times people will be like, oh, I'm going here, is there anyone here? And someone will be like, yeah, I'm here, let's go hang out, let's get coffee. So like you have an immediate friend wherever you're going. We offer a travel safety course, right? It's the number one travel safety course for women, because that is one of the number one fears that women have. So we have this really comprehensive course that covers everything from what to do before you leave to what if you do it, you know, when you're going out drinking, you know, everything. And then we do offer tours as well. Our upcoming tour is to Vietnam, and then we're doing a safari later this year. Ugh. So, you know, we want to just really help people realize their travel dreams, whatever they might be.
That sounds so fun.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is.
I'm okay. Ready to go. Yeah. Okay. Problem is, I have a husband who would want to go with me.
How dare he?
I want to
spend time with you.
Well, we're looking into doing like a more co-ed family tour next year.
Ooh, now that I'll need. Because I wouldn't want to leave him behind. And I like him.
I don't have one of those. I can go.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you should come. Oh man, we've got some exciting. We're just getting ready for 2025 now, and we're gonna announce it soon. And I'm like so excited. We've got so many trips. It's gonna be great.
Listen, we were talking. I don't know if it was. I think it was last week or the week before. How 2025 in the lunar calendar is the year of the snake, which we both are. So we're like 2025 is literally our year.
It's
yeah. Getting ready. We're building
We're preparing for our big year next year. So.
I love it. Well, it makes me think about coiling. Did you ever hear about coiling? Right? It's where it's like a spring, right? A spring coils, you press it down, you get real small. And then when you let go, it's like, boom, right? So I feel like 2024, you're coiling just the way a snake does, right? They coil so that you can explode out in 2025. It's deep thoughts.
Oh my God. I love this so much.
Oh my gosh.
This is very exciting.
We are coiling. This is the year that we're coiling.
Yeah.
I love it. All right.
Next year, we're going to strike.
We just had a very like girl power moment. So of course, I'm going to switch it over to the worst topic that we can possibly switch to afterwards.
Okay.
We have a segment on our podcast called Fictional Boyfriend of the Week. And we pick a character from a movie or a book that we just really vibed with. Like that is my baby.
That's my boo thing.
So we always ask our guests if you have a fictional boyfriend of the week, or you know, just a fictional character that you really vibe with. You think everybody needs to know who they are, and it doesn't have to be a boyfriend. I once had a fictional granny. So just
wait, you just took this into a I was like racking my brain for a boyfriend. You're like, but also a grandma. So it's fine. Yeah.
It's fine. You can just pick whoever like,
I always have mine locked and like mine don't change like hardly ever. And like Karen, I have to like remind her who hers are.
Like who?
Like I have like weekly, but if someone came up to me and was like, who's your favorite fictional boyfriend? I've got it.
Yeah, she does.
So, but like most people, it's like, what is a book?
I've never
heard of a movie.
Something? What is?
Have I ever read anything?
No, you've really like made my mind go blank. I'm like, I know I have tons of crushes on all kinds of people.
This is the moment where literally everything leaves your brain.
I'm a Martian and I just am not. I'm not.
All right. I may need to. I can tell you, like, when you said granny, I was like, well, I know. Like, I was just so. We all saw the Barbie movie, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I haven't yet.
Karen, I can't talk about it.
We're watching it on Friday. We're watching it on Friday.
Okay. All right. Well, there's a grandma in there that shows up at the end. And I was like, see? Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm like, this is a lame answer and maybe like the super hot. No. Whatever, it'll like pop into my head in a second. But like, I was like, that was my vibe. I was like, can I like sit in your lap? And also, she was on Cheers, which like, I'm not old enough for Cheers, but I did watch it.
It was on
like,
Nick at Night.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I love classic TV. Like, I love watching like all the old shows. And I love Cheers. And I loved her on Cheers. And she showed up and she was like this like amazing grandma who was like, I made you. I was like, oh my God.
I sobbed through the entire movie.
Yes.
That like is to exactly. The point that my husband was like, are you good? Are you all right? You need to hit me? Like, you can hit me? I didn't. He was just looking at me like, okay.
So that's my I would say off the top of my head, since we can do anybody, I would pick anybody. That fictional granny, but give me a second to like think of somebody hot. And you guys do you list people too, or is it just me? I'm just on the
spot. I said I'm locked
who's
and loaded,
you locked and
time.
Loaded I need to know. Maybe it's mine too.
Aaron Warner from Shatter Me is number one forever. That man, like And then I love Hudson Vega from Crave. I love Lorcan Salvatierra from Throne of Glass. Castile Denier.
You do have them locked and loaded, Karen.
I'm a fangirl from birth. Okay, so
hold
I keep
on.
Them.
Who do I love now?
Everyone from these Violent Delights, Karen. Those are your fictional boy and girlfriends. And Loki is one of mine, and Bucky is hers.
Bucky and Wanda.
See?
I love Wanda.
You could just answer for her.
I don't need to answer. She knows the answers. Yeah. My brain doesn't work that well.
So authors will be like, who are y'all? And Karen's like, I need to think. And I'm like, I don't. You love everybody from these Violent Delights. You love Bucky and you love Wanda.
It works. Well, we always joke that we share a brain cell between the two of us. So she always gets it when that question comes up. So yeah. It works. Yeah. It's fine.
If you watch closely on the video, you'll see the brain cell ping pong back and forth between us.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We have to pick one every week too, though. So that's sometimes challenging.
We do.
That's tough. Yeah. You put yourself through a lot of work.
We kind of did it to ourselves, but it's fine. We survived.
Yeah. Okay. We have another question that we always ask. If you think of a fictional boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever, you can shout it out whenever it comes to you.
It's probably going to come to you at 3 a.m. Yeah.
It'll be we're going to log off and you're going to be like, Jerry.
Oh, we're going to have to get back on Zoom. I'm going to email you and be like, get back. I got it.
Okay. So when you are not writing, what are you reading? Or like, what books would you recommend? What books do you think everybody should read? What books do you just love that you think that we should read? Other than yours, obviously.
Obviously. That's a great question. I love a good thriller. I love it when I'm just surprised by the story. I think that's why I'm curious. I actually have a thriller in the chamber that I may write at some point, but I am always surprised. Like, I feel like people who write thrillers are like, oh, I saw that coming. And I'm always like, what? I really liked The Wife Between Us. I don't know if you read that. That was...
Oh, I haven't, but it is on my TBR. I've had a lot of friends recommend it.
It was one of those like, what kind of moments? And I just had a lot of fun with those. I do love rom-coms too. I mean, obviously I write them, so I love them. I loved The Matzo Ball by Jean Meltzer was really good. I don't know if you read that one. And I'm trying to think of what else I just finished. It's like the fictional boyfriend because you asked me. I won't remember. I'm proud that I remembered two books. I feel like I really
you did great.
My brain's really working.
You can. Held it.
Doing great.
Yeah. I'm proud of you for this.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. I should like write these down so that I can have them off the top of my head. I have one of those brains. I don't know about either of you, but like if you ask me something, it's gone. Mm-hmm. That's just, and my husband loves to play a game with me where I'll be like, who is the person in the thing with the people? And he doesn't have the brain like me. So he'll be like, oh, you mean, you know, so-and-so in Lost? And I'm like, how did you get that from the thing with the people?
I have a brain like your husband's. So I did ADHD testing a while back. And the doctor, like when I went back, she was like, first up, you're terrible at math. Second, she was like, it's not ADHD, but you have so much anxiety that it's like manifesting in ADHD symptoms. And it's crazy. And she was like, biggest thing, I would never want to go against you in trivia ever.
She's like,
I don't want to do that. It's where did I put my car keys? I have no idea. But if you want to know like some like niche thing, I've got you. I know that's who that guy was in the thing with the people. It was Benjamin Linus from Lost.
Well,
he was also
each other.
On people.
Yeah. That's exactly like we need those people in our lives for those of us who are like the thing.
You're like, you know, the thing.
Yeah. My husband will do that and I'm like, hold on. And I'll Google for like 3 seconds and I have the answer. And he's like, what did you even put into Google? And I'm like,
I do that all the time to her. Like, who needs Google when you have Mandy?
That's what I'm saying. It's like we need each other. We find each other. Yeah. The Mandys and the Karens, the Ardens and the Mikes, we find each other. And we're like, oh, you're the one that's going to answer all the questions for me. And we get to pull all the fun trivia. He's always so proud of himself. Yeah. He's like, I did it. I did it. And I'm like, yeah, thank you.
The only time where we're the opposite is with Marvel. Like, I can't even. She's got an encyclopedic knowledge of like Marvel. And I'm like, I forgot. Because I also have the brain of like, as soon as I finish a book, I forgot everything that I read.
That I do too. But that's why I love it. Because then if I really enjoyed it, I'm like, I'll just come back in 2 months and read it again and be totally shocked by the twist.
Yes.
And I recently... I recently read Red Queen and I finished it and I was talking to her about it and she was like, well, what about this and this? And I was like, I finished it like 5 minutes ago. Yeah. I don't remember anything. It's, what are you talking about? Gone. And she's like, I read it like a couple years back. I'm like, what do you mean you read it a couple years back? Why are you trying to ask me about it?
Yeah.
I just read it. Give me
it's
time.
Done. It's done.
It's over.
Mine is like with the rereads, I will just be like, I miss this character. I really miss this character. I need to reread it so I can meet them again.
I understand that. That's, I don't know the story. Ending thing is hard. I don't like it when stories end and you're like, but you were my friend. We were hanging out and now you're gone. Come back.
I keep saying that I want to reread Throne of Glass because I miss Dorian so much. And I don't even really have that much of a romantic. I mean, Dorian's super hot, but he wasn't my favorite. But like, I'm just like, my friend Dorian.
I just thought of a book. This is a weird one, but this is something that I think everybody should read. Yeah. It's called, it's by Laurie King, and it's a series, and it's called The Beekeeper's Apprentice. And it is,
oh, I've heard of this.
Have you? So it's basically Sherlock Holmes after the books are done. It's the story, and I fell in love with it because it was a young Jewish girl in 19 teens England, and she kind of bumps into this like older grumpy gentleman and then discovers that it's Sherlock Holmes, and he kind of takes her under his wing and they like start solving mysteries together. And I don't really like it when people like that would not sound appealing to me because I like Sherlock Holmes and I'd be
so
like,
wholesome.
It's super wholesome. And Laurie King has a lot of fun with it and claims that she found these like diaries. It's written in the first person of the main character, this girl who grows up. But so she claims that she like found them in her grandma's attic. And so she's like, or it washed ashore. I can't remember. It was a while ago. Yeah. But so you like kind of are never sure if they're like, real or not. So there's this part of you that kind of hopes that like maybe Sherlock Holmes was real and he really did like meet this girl. And
I'm gonna choose to believe that he did.
I know. Yes, I choose to.
Yeah. That is the cutest, most wholesome thing.
Yeah.
I love that so much.
Isn't that random? I know. It's just, I was thinking about books you ask about things that people should read. And that's like one that has stolen my heart for a long time. And I reread those books over and over again because I love the characters, you know? So yeah, it's worth, and it is, it's like wholesome and fun. And you still get that mystery thrill and, you know?
Yeah.
I love it.
My go-to for recommendations is always Lovely War by Julie Barry. We had a guest recommend it to us and I read it and it was like, if I have to tell anybody to read a book, it's gonna be that one. That's like the one that pops to my head every time.
My most recent one of those is The Unmaking of June Farrow. Anytime
I heard that was really good.
Go into it with no knowledge.
Yeah. Don't just read look it up. Don't Google it. Just read it. Nothing, it's not a scary book or anything like that. No, there's nothing like that. Upsetting.
But it's just, it is so good. Like anytime anybody asks for a recommendation, that's my go-to now.
Yeah. All right. I've got some work to do.
Well, you've been busy writing and trying to match up two books. Oh, so
I do not envy you for this at all.
It's going to be really cool once it's done.
Yeah. Well, let's, the process. Maybe I can come back on after when the second one's done.
Funny story. We have kept you a little bit longer than we meant to.
Funny story. Now that you have been on the podcast, you're actually legally obligated to come back for every book release. We don't make the rules, we just enforce them.
I understand. I know. I did sign that contract.
Yeah, exactly. That imaginary contract that we sent over.
Yeah,
definitely
exactly.
Definitely sign that. We
will come twist your arm.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun. Then we can have drinks afterwards, right? Twist my arm.
Yes.
And
yes,
drinks.
Exactly.
Sounds great. Let's do it.
Well, thank you for hanging out with us. It's been so much fun. Everybody, when this episode comes out, the book will be out. So go get it. Keep this off the record by Art and Joy. You're going to love it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for hanging with us.
We had a blast. We're sorry we kept you a little bit longer than we said
than
we would.
Intended.
Oh my gosh. No, this was, we were having so much fun. Oh, can I tell you one thing that's like super random, but you just made me think of it. So there is an audiobook version coming out, and Freya is being narrated. So it's two narrators. Freya is being narrated by Mara Wilson, who you might know as Matilda.
Wait. Yeah.
Stop.
That's insanity. Hold on now.
Stop. What? She said what?
I know.
What? No.
Matilda is reading my book. Sorry, I know you guys are like, we're done. And I'm
no,
like, oh, but also.
I'm like, this
is
happened.
This is what? This is groundbreaking information.
I'm so excited. Like,
that
I got
so
listen.
Cool.
Yeah, I know. She asked to, like, she auditioned for my book. And we were like, yes, yeah, of course. What? Yes.
You audition?
What? What do you mean?
No, you can have it. You can do whatever you want.
You just tell
me. You can sing it. Sing the book. I don't care.
Do whatever.
Yeah, you want to rewrite my book? That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah. Make sure that they are still here on Friday night, though, because the second book, like, you got to keep it on track.
Yeah.
Change whatever you want to, Mara.
Right? Exactly. Yeah, just let me know what you change so that I can add it to the second book. Yeah, if you are an audiobook listener, I'm a big audiobook person.
We are. We're huge audiobook people.
All right. Well, then you should definitely get a copy of the audiobooks
I'm
you can
going
listen to.
That
Mara
is
Wilson.
So cool.
This is so cool.
Oh, how
Oh my
wild.
Gosh, I would
That's
pass
so cool.
out.
I know. Yeah.
Thanks. You're out or away. One of the
I haven't even told anybody. It just, they just sort of like got finalized. So like I actually got to listen to it. So I haven't even like, it hasn't been up on our publisher's website or anything, but yeah. So you're the first to know, I think.
That's so exciting. Oh my gosh. I can't wait.
Thank you.
I know.
Yeah, really
we're
exciting.
A huge audio. We're huge audiobook listeners.
We both
here,
have office jobs that where we can like listen
all
while
day.
We work.
So yeah.
It's this all about so the exciting. Audiobooks. I'm a big exciting. Fan. I have two kids, so like that's the only way I get any reading done now is chasing them with, you know, one ear.
Like it just means that you can always be reading.
Yes. Yeah.
It's the best part of it. So
I agree.
That is so cool.
Anyway, thanks for letting me share that. And thanks for letting me come on here and like have the best girl talk ever. This was amazing.
Thank you for coming. This was so much fun.
We're normally here every Thursday. So if you ever just want to pop in.
Just come and hang out. Can I like just hang out? I'll just show up in the middle of your recording and be like, hey guys.
Hey.
Yes. We are always down for some girl talk.
Woohoo!
That's why we made the podcast, because honestly, we just wanted to geek out about books.
I love it.
Every week.
I love it.
I mean, especially in like this like digital age where all your friends are like spread out across the world.
Yeah.
Like if you have a scheduled like hour, 2 hours every week, then you still get to hang out. And that's basically what we get to do.
I love it. And then you get to bring like other friends in and chat with them.
We get to make so
bit.
Many new friends. It's been so much fun.
Yeah. I'm just going to show up every Thursday night. I'm just on your podcast now. So
we're not recording this.
It sounds
Thursday,
like a lot of fun.
After that, pop on in.
Yeah. All right. We've kept you so long. Thank you so much for hanging
thank
out.
You. This was really great. Yeah. Thank
we
you.
Will talk, we'll to, talk you to you soon.
All right.
Bye. Bye.
She is so cute.
Oh my gosh. So much fun.
I had so much. My face hurts. I always say that, but my face hurts.
I know. I like, wait.
I am so furious with you. I did not realize you haven't seen Barbie. Are you waiting for me to engrave you an invitation, Karen?
We're watching it on Friday for movie night.
Why hasn't this been movie night 6 months ago?
Because it
Karen,
wasn't.
I'm going to send Beth a scathing review about this.
You do that. You do kidding. That. It's clearly.
You're going to cry, though.
Of
You're going to cry.
I'm going to cry. course I'm going to cry. I'm me. Of course I'm going to cry. That just made me think of that trending like thing where it's like, we're such and such. Of course. Yeah. I'm me. Of course I'm
We need
cry.
To do one.
We should. We'll think of something. It'll be fun.
Yeah. We'll just make it and bounce it back and forth.
Yeah.
One of mine's going to be, we're fangirls. Of course we know who our favorite fictional boyfriend is at the drop of a hat.
And then it'll pan to me and like, do we? Do we know?
Yes, I do.
All right. So it is time for some announcements. Or an announcement. We have an announcement. And that is our next guest.
No big deal.
Very exciting guest. We have Case and Calendar coming back to the podcast to talk about Infinity Alchemist.
And I'm a repeat offender.
So freaking excited. Had so much fun with them last time.
Yeah.
I cannot wait. It's going to be such a blast.
I'm ready for you to read Infinity Alchemist.
I'm very
You're
excited.
Like it. Yeah.
I'm very excited to get started on it. So. That's going to be this week. I'll be reading that this week. I'm dying to tell people.
I know.
I'm like dying.
So many people DM me and they're like, hey.
I know.
And I'm like, I want to tell you, but I can't.
Listen, I want to tell you so bad. I want to tell you so bad.
We kind of have already told you
past
episodes. Like
we have told you before.
We have said this. Happening.
We are big manifestors on this podcast, as y'all know. And it's just coming. It's coming. So, I can't believe it. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Anyways, that's a little secret. That's a little Easter egg tidbit hint that we left you many, many episodes ago.
Many, many episodes ago.
Yeah. All right. You want to do a spiel?
It's time for a spiel. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. Please follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on all the things. Please visit our website, theincoherentfangirl.com, where you can also stream all of our episodes as well as read our blog, which has so many book reviews that it's overwhelming.
All of the book reviews. I'm trying to get this dog because he's freaking out. Come here or go there. I need you to choose. Do you want to be here? Do you want to be there? Decide. Because if you want to be here, I want you to be here. If you want to be there, then stop whining. If you want to be here and then not coming over here, I'm going to have a breakdown. I love him so much. I feel like I could die from it. He's just looking at me so sad. Like, because I'm not holding him, but he won't get close enough for me to hold him. I'm trapped. I'm going to have to do the wiggly worms to get out of this chair. It's just devolved.
I can't breathe.
Welcome to the entire. That's not the intro or the teaser next week. I don't know what could be.
I'm literally crying because I can't.
I mean,
now. Oh my God.
Hold on. I'm just going to stand up and grab. Dude. Look how easy that was.
Literally crying. Oh my God.
Anyways,
this is the perfect teaser for the next bit, because if you want to subscribe to our Patreon, you can get full video episodes and witness all of this breakdown. Oh my gosh, go to theincoherentfangirl.com/Patreon. You can get early access to episodes, video episodes, and exclusive clips that will be also posted eventually. Oh my God, that was hilarious.
George Bailey's face.
You could see George Bailey's face, who...
He's so cute.
He is adorable. He is a stinker.
I know.
Oh my God.
You see what you caused? You see all that chaos you just caused?
So much chaos. I'm seriously okay. I'm good. It's fine. Everything's fine. If you want to shop our merch store, you can head to the incoherentfangirl.com/shop. There's lots of cute designs, including the limited edition Intruder Alert, which is only going to be available through the end of March. So make sure you grab one if you want one, because it will not be coming back.
Nope, it's going away.
It will be gone. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, design ideas you want to tell us that we're pretty, we will accept all. Look how handsome Georgie is. You can send all of those to our inbox, theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We really love hearing from y'all. And one final way to support the podcast is to rate and review on whatever platform you are listening to us on. Please give us your words. We love your words.
We love your words.
She is at Mandy Perv on all the things.
She's at Ms. Made in China on all the things.
And once you have followed us on social media and you followed the podcast on social media, you can go and visit our internet besties and do some shopping and self-care, because we love you. Head over to herecomesthenerd.com, use code fangirl, and you'll get 20% off your first order.
Then you're going to head to Once Upon a Book Club and get a book box, all of the book boxes, because they're all great. And you got two codes that you can use. We don't care which one you use. You can't stack them. We love you no matter which code you use. But you can use either code Karen10 or Mandy10, and you'll get 10% off. But just make sure you spell Karen correctly, or you won't get any percent off.
And then you are going to head over to entrancingelixirs.com, use code FANGIRLT, and you'll get 10% off your order. But remember, unlike Karen, there is no I in fangirl. It's FANGRLTEA.
And then, of course, we need you to go to Amber D. Lewis's website. She's teasing her next project. So, yeah, head to amberdlewis.com, buy all of the Fire and Starlight Saga things, buy two, buy three, however many your little heart tells you to, and use code FANGIRL10. You'll get 10% off your purchase.
And once you have finished supporting us and our internet besties, I suppose we can head over and support the show husband.
I have a new microphone cable.
Well, there we go.
Just saying, we're keeping him.
He gets to stay.
He can stay. Sorry, Lazara. Sorry, Milo. Sorry, everybody. I love him. So there's that.
Daddy, I love him. Daddy,
I
love him.
He left this, just funny aside, he left this morning at 4 a.m. to go to Texas for the weekend. Yeah, he had an 8 a.m. flight, but it was this whole thing. Anyways, I think he was wearing an Incoherent Fangirl t-shirt when he left, but it was 4 a.m. and my eyes don't work at 4 a.m. ever. So unless I've stayed up that late. So could be wrong, but I think he was wearing a fictional boyfriend of the week shirt. So anyways, you want to go. Now that you finished this episode, you're going to go listen to an episode of The Paranormal Mind. I don't remember what this episode is about, but I remember it being good. So do with that what you will. Last week's episode was The Origins of the Muffin Man, and it was pretty freaking hilarious. I think this episode is about some really weird twins.
Okay.
I think is what this episode is about. And if you like really strange stories, this is going to be an episode for you. You'll also want to go over to searchersbelieve.com. They have some paranormal investigation episodes that you can get to from that website, and they have merch. If you use code FANGIRL10, you get 10% off. That merch was designed by yours truly, so it's pretty cool. Tell them we sent you.
Yay.
Searchers in the Paranormal Mind, folks.
Very exciting. And that's the incoherent fangirl.
Yeah, that was the incoherent fangirl. My face hurts.
I think I'm still crying. Thanks for listening.
We love you.
Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.